You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The 2025 Women's Rugby World Cup is coming to a close this week, with reigning world champions the Black Ferns on track to defend their title. As the final approaches, New Zealand media personalities How to Dad and Tegan Yorworth have reignited conversations around the disappointing lack of coverage of the tournament and wider women's sport in general by New Zealand media. Concerns are running high as media attention on the sport remains relatively absent despite the growing successes of our wahine. I spoke to Tony Bruce, Professor of Sociology of Sport and Sports Media at Waipapa Taumātoro, about the issue ahead of the Black Ferns semi-final against Canada this Saturday. Kia ora, Tony. Why do you think it feels like we haven't kept the same energy in regards to wider public supporter awareness for the Black Ferns in this World Cup in comparison to 2022?
Well, I think 2022 was an amazing breakout year. And that was, there are probably a bunch of reasons why everyone got on board with it. And one of it, of course, was that it was held here. One of the other really key decisions that they made was that the tickets were really cheap. And so whole families could attend. I talked to one Pacific family where they had the mother, the father, an auntie, about six kids and a niece who were all coming to the game and super excited about it. Whereas if it was an All Blacks game, maybe only one parent and one child could go. So what it did was open up rugby, and particularly women's rugby, to pretty much anyone in the country. And of course it did not hurt that the Black Ferns did really well. Just, you know, played like a dream and won in the end. So I think there were a lot of things that came together to really build that enthusiasm in 2022. But for this year, I think, I mean, part of the problem is that for New Zealanders who want to watch, it's in the middle of the night most of the time, or really early in the morning. So if anybody wants to watch, they really have to make an effort. And if you don't get to see the live game, then you can only watch the highlights. And for people who are real fans, that's not enough.
And who and what are the key players in improving media coverage of women's sport in Aotearoa?
I think there's a lot of key players. And part of the reason that we've had this sort of consistent rise, and we're now maintaining it around sort of 26-27% every year of New Zealand sports media coverage going to women, is one of the biggest players, I think, was the Labor government, who, when they came into power in 2018, I think, said sport was their number one priority, and not just sport, but women's sport. And so they did a number of things, setting aside a lot of money so that we could actually successfully bid for and host three Women's World Cups. But I think one of the most important things they did was they funded an annual media report, which analyzes the amount of media coverage in New Zealand by gender for every news outlet. And in that sense, that holds all media publicly to account. And you work in media, so you know the media can be very competitive. And so I think that if, let's say, the New Zealand Herald saw that stuff was doing 5% better than them, that would be an incentive to actually improve what they were doing. So we started to see, as soon as this media analysis started, each year the percentage was creeping up, or sometimes going up quite a lot, because I think of this competition between media. So one of the things that's really important, I think, for the nation and for women's sport is that media analysis continues. And I heard recently that it will, from 2025, it will switch to every 2 years. But as long as it keeps going, I think that is a place where everybody in New Zealand has the opportunity to see how the country's doing. So that, I think, is a really key point. And I think the other key point is that women's sports reporters have really driven the increase. And there's a lot of key women like Suzanne McFadden at Locker Room, Zoe George across a whole range of different media organisations, Dana Johansson, Melody Robinson, who was at Sky Sport and was a real advocate for women's rugby in particular, and in fact was the person behind the first ever doubleheader of women's rugby and men's rugby being played back to back. There are other people, Ricky Swinnell, for example, challenging the dominance of male voices in live coverage. So she took a lot of flack when she first started commentating men's rugby, but now she's one of the most respected rugby commentators in the country. And there are male reporters and news organisations have come on board over time, but I think it's been the women sports reporters that have been really driving the shift.
And how have the recent cuts in the media sector in Aotearoa impacted the ability to cover our women's sports?
I think we're still not quite sure what impact it's going to have, because the effects of job losses and consolidations and things are just sort of starting to filter through. But what's likely is that they will matter if it's women sports reporters who are losing their jobs. And I know in some cases that has been the case. Like the one women sports reporter is the one that gets laid off. The other thing we know is that when sports media are under pressure, they tend to sort of take less risks. They tend to go back to the tried and true, which unfortunately tends to privilege established male sports rather than these emerging women's sports.
And what impact does the lack of presence in media coverage, despite our female sports reporters championing the cause, have on the world of women's sport in Aotearoa?
Well, I think women are busy playing sport, managing sport, coaching sport, but it really matters who's getting media coverage, because then it becomes something that the country as a whole gets on board with. So, and it may be because I'm an ex-journalist and because I study media, but I do think the media coverage is really central to the growth of women's sport. You know, there are slogans like, if you can't see it, you can't be it. There's a lot of strong evidence behind the fact that media coverage makes the huge difference, I think.
And what needs to be done beyond further media coverage to entice people to engage with women's sports?
That's one of those really good questions. Probably the things that I think can continue to make a difference is, again, that the government and Sport New Zealand keep the national media analysis going. I think that New Zealand news organisations must commit long term, because building audiences or building new audiences is not something that you can do by committing to, oh, we'll give women's sport some extra coverage for 2 years and then stop doing it. So I know that in various news organisations they've had groups that have been driving that forward, but I understand that some of those initiatives are sort of being stepped back from, you know, in these more constrained conditions. So there has to be a kind of long-term commitment by New Zealand organisations to cover women's sport. And I mean, for women's sport, the key has been social media, actually. So the most famous rugby player on social media is Ilona Maher from the USA. She posts such open, honest, frank, interesting content. And so women's sport has started to make themselves publicly visible on social media, and that's actually, in a sense, in some cases, sports media has followed along after that. So I think, you know, if things get really bad, it'll be, most people will be turning to social media to actually get their hits. You know, women did that because they had to. You know, I don't know if you follow any women athletes on social media, but they're very different from the highly professionalized male athletes who are often quite constrained in what they can say. So women athletes tend to be really frank, really honest. They're really real, and you feel this kind of connection to them because you feel like you know them as a person. So, and I give you one example of where women have been really committed to the fans, because after the Women's Rugby World Cup in 2022, won by the Black Ferns stayed at Eden Park, and they wanted to stay to sign autographs for every single person who wanted an autograph. They gave their shoes to little kids, and they stayed and they stayed and they stayed and they stayed. And I talked to one parent who walked out afterwards and said that the rows were still six rows deep of young girls and boys wanting to meet the Black Ferns, and Eden Park turned the lights out and ended their ability to actually achieve what they wanted to do.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us regarding this topic today?
I think it's what's interesting is I've been doing an analysis of media headlines across the world about women's sport. And what's really interesting is I haven't done anything since sort of mid last year, but what I've found is that almost all of the coverage is like, wow, look at women's sport. Women's sport is growing. Audiences are growing. There's more financial investment into women's sport. And so it's all about the growth of women's sport. It's not so much about women's sport. So we've got to make a shift from this sort of, wow, look what's happening in women's sport kind of narrative, to actually covering women's sport in the same kind of way that men's sport gets covered. So we're seeing that start to develop in some sports, but there is a real danger that this narrative of, wow, look, women's sport is taking off, will sort of fade away. Because one of my colleagues in Australia did a study back to the late 1800s, and every couple of decades there would be this, wow, look at women's sport, it's taking off, and then women's sport would die away again. And then two decades later, wow, look, women's sport is taking off, and then it would die again. There's a part of me that's really afraid that this might just be another of those moments. I think there's evidence that it's probably not, that it's going to actually have some sustainability, but there is always, I guess, that danger lurking in the background.
That was Tony Bruce, Professor of Sociology of Sport and Sports Media at Waipapa Taumātarau, on the lack of coverage of the 2025 Women's Rugby World Cup ahead of the Black Ferns semi-final against Canada this Saturday.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.